Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, big book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, July 20th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book, and we are in Chapter 5, How It Works, on page 72, finishing the remainder of the second paragraph, beginning on the 10th line down. Time after time, newcomers have tried, through the conclusion of the paragraph, told someone else all their story, and the comments are on those specific lines only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Stephanie L., the 12 Traditions, Laura R. The readers of the text are Leslie M., Liz T., and Dana P., and the share ID for Monday, yesterday's meeting, July 19th, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 17,383. That's 17383. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, July 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 17,387. It's 17387. And our newcomer greeter today is Lois P., and the announcements person is Robin P. Away preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I will now ask Stephanie L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and here are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
And thank you, Stephanie L., for doing that. And I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Yes, thank you, Laura. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Again, it's the star 1 feature, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 72 in Chapter 5, How It Works, finishing the remainder of the second paragraph, beginning on the 10th line down. Time after time, newcomers have tried, through the conclusion of the paragraph, told someone else all their life story, and the comments will be on those specific lines only. And I will now ask Leslie M. to begin, to get us started. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Mo H., for your service today. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Wow. A lot of stuff in here. And the first thing that really hit me is, you know, it's he's talking about here, trying to avoid these humbling experiences, they have turned to easier methods. And, you know, what I keep thinking about is I've been around a program a long time, 31 years this year, and I've done a lot of fourth and fifth steps in the process. But only the last one, which was a little over 3 years ago, I actually did it, you know, because it continues. I was looking for an easier, softer way. You know, it says they only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. And that was my biggest problem was, you know, when it came right down to it, once I finally got to my desperation and surrender point, I saw that I needed to, you know, that I was as powerless over my thinking as I was over the food. You know, and when I got to that point, I was willing to take the suggestions in this book. I was willing to listen to these directions and do them instead of just thinking about them or talking about them. I had to take those actions. I had to do these things. It says they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. And I had to tell someone, I knew what I had done. God knew what I did. But I had to be open enough and hear it. And I have found over my time in 12-step groups is that, you know, when I say something out loud, it stops rattling around in my head and it changes, even if I weren't saying it to someone else, even when I just speak out loud to myself, that I hear it differently, you know, and that was part of it for me was, you know, it was also conceding to my innermost self that these things were true, you know, and so for me, you know, the things that I wrote down, the pieces of my inventory and my fourth step that I told my sponsor and my fifth step, you know, those things have just become a part of my story. They no longer have all that emotion attached to them. You know, it's just, you know, these are the facts. It was a fact-facing and a fact-finding process. And that's what I had to tell. I had to tell the facts because I can't go back and change anything that I've done. So I have to own it. I have to accept it. And then I have to move on and see what I can do differently. And that's what the rest of the steps are going to do. But this is really important that I, you know, say it out loud for myself, for God, and for another person so that I can honestly look at it. And for me, humility, the definition of humility has always been, you know, being able to see the reality of a situation. And certainly when I was in the food and when I was in the disease, I couldn't see what was really going on. It was all that chitter chatter in my brain. That was the reality. Now I have the option of looking at things differently and seeing some of the reality that's going on in the world. And because I did this fifth step to the best of my ability, I didn't need to be perfect. I just needed to do what I could do at the time. And, you know, once I followed all the directions, I got everything else that I was promised.
Same.
And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Leslie M., for getting us started. So I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 72 in the chapter How It Works, finishing the remainder of the second paragraph, beginning on the 10th line down. Time after time, newcomers have tried, through the conclusion of the paragraph, told someone else all their life story, and the comments are on those lines only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will take names of those who'd like to share on these lines.
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Barbara E.
Barbara E.
Laura K.
Laura K. Anyone else? All right. In lieu of time, we'll take those three. We have Stephen G., Barbara E., and Laura K. After Laura, I'll take some more names. Good morning, Stephen. Give us where you're
Good
from,
morning.
Too, please.
Sure. Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. So this reading, time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. And I've learned that I have this allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, and this disease that's permanent, progressive, and fatal, and I'm blocked from this higher power. And I need to access power quickly. And this is the way that I do it. And for me, in the first couple of years I was in the program, there was a certain thing in my story that I was quite ashamed about, and so I did not share it with anybody in my step five, although I shared a lot of other things. And the result was that I had three really bad relapses that got worse and worse and worse. And eventually I became willing to share that. And there was a lesson in that, that I really won't do what's necessary until I am trapped. I'm in a corner and I have no other options. And of course, once I did that, then I got sustained recovery. You know, I worked the rest of the steps as well. And even now as a recovered person, I'm doing another more detailed sex and relationship inventory. And I started to see some patterns I hadn't seen before. And in my mind, I thought to myself, well, I don't really need to share this with somebody, you know, because I've seen it for myself. And again, I'm reminded that that's pride and that's fear. And I can't get to God unless I'm humbled. And I can't be humbled until I share it with another trusted fellow. So a very good reminder. And I'm grateful to read this again. Thanks for listening.
And thank you, Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada. Next up, we have Barbara E., followed by Laura K., and then we'll take some more names. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. Happy, what day is this? Tuesday, I think. I lose all track of the days. Well, I was thinking of the isms of my food disorder. I don't really see me. I'm unwilling myself to see myself for who I am and who I'm not. I try to sponsor myself. I sabotage myself. I experience an internal malady, and I have an incredibly short memory, and I don't like to share my secrets with anyone. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't robbed a bank, but I'm sure I'm worse than you. So I had to let go, really let go and trust and just push, as they say, pray until something happens, because I really needed to have that forgiveness for myself and for others, because yesterday I learned from and to, and today I learned towards, and tomorrow I learn too. So I go to this meeting religiously every day, and here I am sitting in Brooklyn with a five-year-old granddaughter by myself, but I couldn't resist the temptation not to go to the food, not to go to anything extra, but to go to a meeting and share it with you and listen and learn. And that's what I'm planning on doing. Have a blessed day, everyone. I pass.
And thank you, Barbara E. And after Laura K., I'll take some more names. So Laura K., give us your name and where you're from, Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura, and I'm from Northern California, Laura K. And it's been a little while since I've been on this meeting. I'm glad to be back. And this is a favorite passage of mine. I just really, really enjoyed the fifth step after I cut through it, sharing with someone else everything that I thought was just, oh, was my inner devil, you know. Sharing it with someone else really humbled me and just really made me feel much more secure once it was out. I have finished all the steps, but I am back to 1, 2, and 3 and probably go through all of them again. I just am very glad this meeting is here. Thank you all. Thank you all so much, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Laura Kay, and welcome back. Glad to have you. And let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 72. We're finishing the remainder of the second paragraph. Beginning on the 10th line, time after time, newcomers have tried, through the conclusion of that paragraph, told someone else all their life story, and the comments are on those specific lines only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'll take some more names.
Hi, I'm Imelda, a compulsive reader.
Who was that first? The first person?
Imelda.
Kelly H.
Imelda. I got Imelda. And then Kelly, I got you.
H.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Kelly H. Okay, and who was after Kelly?
Teresa C.
Teresa C. Okay.
Larry G.
Gotcha, Larry.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Maureen S.
Maureen, was that a S?
Yes, S as in Sam. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's stop there. We have Imelda. I'll get last initials and states when you speak. Kelly H., Teresa C., Larry G., Jordan L., and Maureen S. So good morning, Imelda.
Hi, good morning. I'm Imelda T. I'm still a compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. And I'm really glad that I got on this meeting today. I was supposed to do one yesterday, and so I'm on now. And, you know, the gentleman that just spoke 2 shares ago, wow, you know, it was a beautiful share. And yeah, talking about humility and being humble, there are things that, as a compulsive overeater myself, I like to keep things to myself. They're all secrets. And it's funny because it's almost like anybody can ask me anything about myself, but when it comes to food, I hold on to that. It's like we can't go there. And I really believe that the time that I've been around the rooms and have worked the steps, there's no other way but to do my writing and give it away. I have tried in the past trying to find a softer way, easier way, kind of like go around things, and you just can't. There's just no other way around it. You have to work the steps exactly like it is, and it's very humbling when I have. And I have a sponsor today. I'm returning back from a severe relapse because I have relapsed a couple of times in program, and it's like I heard earlier, never did I imagine that I'd be where I'm at today, because my relapses were only getting worse. And, you know, it's amazing how, really, I never thought I would be where I'm at today. So having that said, I have a sponsor today, and this Thursday, I'm hopeful. Today's Tuesday. I'm tapping into the future, but it will be 3 weeks, and we're keeping it simple. And I like that because as an addict, I run. And I made that clear to her from the beginning. So I have a sponsor. I'm trying to work it to the best of my ability and allow God. I'm seeking God. And I think I'm in a good place right now, you know, is being on a phone meeting and reminding myself who I am and why I'm here. I'm a compulsive overeater. So thank you for letting me share. Do I leave my contact number or?
No. At the end of the meeting as a newcomer. Okay. Thank you, Imelda T. And Kelly H, followed by Teresa C. Kelly, let me know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Kelly H, calling from North Carolina. And this section is just a really beautiful, grace-filled, redemptive side of beginning in this program. I am recovered, but I did relapse after surgery that I just had, and helped myself to two bowls full of something just to soothe, right? Because I'm entitled to soothe my pain. And I had to call my sponsor. And so yesterday was day one all over again. However, I'm still in the program and the numbers are irrelevant. And the title of newcomer and somebody who's been in the program for 6 months, it doesn't matter. Like for me, I realized that being a newcomer, the book doesn't apply the stigma, but we do. In our society, we are people who kind of look down upon newcomers, this upstart, this kid that thinks they are acting like the expert. And we do kind of treat newcomers, sometimes we're real excited, and sometimes we're kind of like, oh, look at this person trying too hard. And that's a sneaky, idolatrous kind of thing. Like we're up on our hill looking down upon the keener, the one who's showing up at all the meetings. And they're really trying, they're really working hard on the program. But of course, the hard landing when humbling doesn't happen. And it's not a soft landing, even though we're looking for the easier, softer way. When we miss the humbling, we miss the soft landing. So I tumbled hard this past week trying to soothe the physical pain I was in. But the soft landing was I immediately called my sponsor the next morning, fessed up and the clock started again. So I'm grateful for this program because it's hard. We don't write the rules of how soft or hard that landing is, but if I miss the humbling dismount, then I miss the soft landing and I get drunk, which could lead to a huge relapse. And so I just want to say that the redemption is just completely beautiful, because if I do humble myself, if I do get it, I get to lose my fear, I get to regain honesty, and it all begins because I just get to tell somebody. I don't get to die in isolation because I lied in my program and had years on my OA toolkit calculator showing my abstinence. I get maybe single-digit numbers of a life that involves others, and I get relationship when I choose to be honest. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Kelly H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Teresa C., followed by Larry G. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. I'm Teresa C. from New Jersey, a compulsive overeater and food addict. what I wanted to share was, I don't know, a share somewhere along the way there just brought up this thing of, you know, that the trust. That for this step, I really need to trust. And for me, this whole program is about trust, because I'm trusting that what this book tells me, the experience it shows me, and the steps it teaches me are what I need to do. I have to trust that this is what I have to do. No exceptions. And what it, the trust thing reminds me of is that I do a visual. Oh, a long time ago, there was the movies, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And one of them, I think it was, you know, about the Holy Grail. Our hero is like, has to cross this chasm. Excuse me. Has to cross this chasm and there's no bridge there. And he has to take this step of faith, and that just so sticks with me, that he just puts his foot out, and right when he puts his foot out and he's ready to go, the bridge appears. So for me, that is total trust in my higher power. And you know, up to this point, we've been through steps, you know, 1, 2, and 3, turned our lives over, and I feel like if I've really turned my life over, then I have to trust that I need to do this step. I have to trust that I have to share it with someone else. I have to trust that I have to share everything, everything that I can pick out of my brain. I need to share, because for me, I never know what little detail is really something important. You know, I like to just, that's probably the easier, softer way, right? I think of something and I just want to brush it aside and say, oh, you know, that's not that important. But I'm learning that it is that important. And I just should say it. If it turns out to be nothing, it turns out to be nothing. But if it's something, then it comes to my awareness and sometimes becomes very important. So thank you. I'll pass. Thanks, everybody, for sharing and for your service.
And thank you, Teresa C. from New Jersey. Larry G., you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry G., and I'm from California. Thank you, Mo. When I read this, I have to be really clear. I don't eat because I keep secrets. I eat because I'm a food drunk. That's what I do. That's what food drunks do. They eat. There's millions of people out there who keep secrets, who don't drink, use drugs, or are compulsive eaters. But that being said, there are things that need to be uncovered and spoken to God and to another human being. Now, I've done I counted up the other day. I've done 10 or 11, I believe, 10 or 11, maybe more, fourth and fifth steps in my time in OA over 26 years. And you might ask, well, Larry, why do you only have a year and a half of absence if you've done a fourth and fifth step? Because you're supposed to uncover your deepest secrets and be sober. And I think the reason, looking back, I think the single most important ingredient is surrender. In Alcoholics Anonymous, I keep comparing my program to Alcoholics Anonymous because it really works for me. But in AA, we don't take people through the steps of their drinking. And thank God I had a sponsor, a vision sponsor, who saw that. And we did not begin the steps until she was convinced that I was not, that I was abstinent and I was really wanted to be abstinent. And it cleared my brain out, take 30 days and clear my brain out. And we did a lot of other things. But to get started, want to make sure, Larry, you're surrendered. And what I discovered this time, because I did surrender, was a complete surrender to the fact that I am a compulsive eater and my life is unmanageable. I discovered how dishonest I am around food. I am like the drunk who's got booze hidden all around the house and uses his company's expense account to drink and, drinks in sordid places. I am that person, and I never wanted to admit it, and I'm now going through another phase of uncovering my dishonesty. Yeah, I text my food in, but I'll put down beef today, right? Deli sliced beef or an apple. And in my mind, when I go to eat the beef, 6 ounces, 7 ounces, 8 ounces, whatever, it's good, right? And my sponsor today is challenging me to move more from the shadows into the light by being even more precise. And it's a challenge. I reached out yesterday to a lot of people because I'm in fear of this, right? The covers are being pulled. But I want recovery more than anything. I'm willing to, if you told me, Larry, you got to go into Mount Temple Pius and jump on a trampoline during the full moon and recite the Serenity Prayer backwards, I will do it because I don't want to go back to that shithole I was in. I came to this program in complete resignation and despair, and thank God I've got abstinence today, and I passed.
Well, thank you, Larry G. from California. Jordan L., followed by Maureen S., and after Maureen, I will take some more names. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be absent and on a meeting with all of you this morning. The fifth step. I want to mention that I had also done fourth and fifth steps prior to getting abstinent in 2017. And this time was different. I don't know why. There was just something that was really different about it. And I wrote down everything in this four step. Like it's the writing part was very, very easy because it was literally writing down the stuff that was revolving around in my brain over and over and over again. So it was really easy to get it down on paper. I didn't like struggle to come up with things to write down, right? And so I got it all down, and it was really, really clear to me that I was going to eat again if I didn't describe everything I had written down to another person, if I didn't read it to another person, right? And I like I remember it so well. My sponsor, oh, God bless her. She forgot about our meeting, and she didn't answer me when I called her. And here I am, like alone in my house, and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm gonna go to the kitchen if I don't get this stuff out right now, like right now. So it was really, really clear to me that I was gonna get drunk again. Really, really clear. Thankfully, she called me back like 15 minutes later and I got it all out, right? But what it was like, it was my first tangible demonstration that I was going to live life with like another ingredient other than self-reliance, you know? Like that's what I did up until this point. Like I figured it out on my own. And I've done it afterwards, after this too, right? Like this is not a perfect story by any means where from here on out, like I behaved like an angel. It's not like that at all. But this was the first time that I demonstrated, not even to my sponsor or even God, I demonstrated to myself that I was not going to do this on pure self-reliance, you know, like I was gonna let people into my life, that was just not, it just wasn't something I did up until this point, you know. I was so scared of judgment. I was so scared of it because I was very judgmental myself, you know. A lot of times the relationship that I have with the people around me is a direct reflection of my relationship with myself and the God of my understanding, you know? So this is the first, this is it. I was like, okay, I'll let someone else in on all of it. and it was beautiful. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thanks, Jordan L. from Colorado. And before I take Maureen S., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 72 and how it works. Finishing the remainder of the second paragraph, beginning on the 10th line down. Time after time, newcomers have tried, and we're going to read through that paragraph through the conclusion, told someone else all their life stories. And after I have Maureen share, I will take some more names. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning. Thank you so very much for the wonderful meeting. This is Maureen S., recovering compulsive overeater. This is, oh my gosh, this is the perfect paragraph for me today. I'm just today starting my fourth step for about like the third time in 15 years. And although I'm not like technically a newcomer to OA, I feel like I am because I've spent so much time in relapse, so much time in my own head, listening to my own chatter and my own advice, which does not work. So I am just humbly crawling back and so grateful for this program. And it's not even about the weight or the food. It's the mental anguish that I put myself through when I'm living in the disease. And I desperately need, you know, the promises and recovery. This was just perfect for me because I was a little bit anxious this morning thinking about writing down in my inventory because I'm going forward into the future, into the other steps, which to me means I'm going right back into like my self-will and thinking all about me. I'm nervous about this. You know, I am my biggest problem. So I'm really grateful for the directions in this book. And I always was trying to find an easier way. I was grateful to read after I was rereading the 12 steps in the big book. Immediately following the 12th step, it says, "What an order. I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged." It was like, that was my exact feeling was, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I'm getting discouraged. And the big book, the writers of this book, because this is the same disease, knew exactly how I was going to feel. And to me, that was just another affirmation that I need to pay attention, do what they did exactly like they say to do it, if I want to be recovered and not listen to my own chatter in my head. And the first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And that is just the definition of my life because my self-will always leads me back into the disease. So I'm so grateful for these phone meetings. They just are carrying me. And just thank you so much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Maureen S. from New York. And although we value your experience, We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on these lines?
Lois P.
Nirvana
A.
Nirvana A.
Sarah N.
Sarah N.
Vega Z.
Lynn D.
Who was that Z?
Vega Z.
Okay. Could you spell that for me?
F-A-Y-G-A. F like Frank.
F-A-Y-G-A. Okay, gotcha. All right, let's stop there because we have like 10 minutes left. I have Lois P, Nirvana A, Sarah M, and Vega Z. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Mo. So, time after time, we've tried to keep, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves. This is the whole crux of compulsive overeating for me. You know, even though on the surface I could live a life and people would think I was, quote, normal, I know probably everybody on this line will understand that I kept to myself the real feelings I had about me, about maybe other people, about the world. And I lived in a bad dream. Keeping quiet, keeping it to myself was the problem. I was not trusting enough to share my feelings about what had happened to me, perhaps. Growing up, there were some things that were uncomfortable, shameful, and I carried that shame. I carried that guilt. I carried that insecurity with me the whole time in my life. And the food was a cover-up for all of that. Coming into this program, coming to that fourth step is crucial. It was crucial for me in being able to trust that I could share these things with someone, that they would not judge me. The program promises that. That I could bring these dark, sad feelings into the light and share them with another human being who would accept me unconditionally. That's a real test of humility and faith. That if you want to succeed and if you want a new life, this is the point that we have to get beyond that fear and that isolation. So sharing all of whatever we're carrying, whatever I carried within me that was holding me back and keeping me in that bad dream, keeping me in that low self-esteem and fear, I had to be exposed. And this beautiful program gives us the opportunity. And you know, don't be afraid. If you're on that fourth step, it's a step of liberation. It's a step of opening up and welcoming in a community of loving, wonderful people who have done the same things or have had the same things happen to them. Nothing that you can say, I'm sure, will shock anyone. And just being able to trust in the community of love, which is God working through all of us, is what we're all looking for. It's what I found here. So don't stop at the fourth step. Do not run away. Keep going because the light of God and the light of a whole new life awaits you. And thank you so much, Mo, for giving me the opportunity to share.
Sure. Thank you, Lois P. from New York. Nirvana A, followed by Sarah N. Good morning, Nirvana.
Good morning, Mo. This is Nirvana A from California. Thank you for your service and thanks for everyone online. Welcome to the newcomers. I just wanted to say I like to simplify things. I am not a very, my brain doesn't work when it comes to complicated things. So I read somewhere that this is how you can look at step 4 and 5. That pretend you're a 7-year-old and your mom says, clean your room. But you do it, but you're not very happy about doing it. And then your mom says, go through all your clothes and toys and put anything that doesn't fit or something you don't like or something that you think is yucky on your bed. And you do all that. And that's step 4. And then your mother comes into the room and sees all the stuff you don't want anymore. No discussions, no explanations about why you don't want these things anymore. You're only showing her what no longer works for you. And that's step 5. So when I applied this to all my experiences, my emotions, my feelings about things, that's exactly what I did. What don't I want to keep anymore? So I gave it away. And believe it or not, your sponsor doesn't really care. They're very good at this. They just listen to you and they don't judge you. So I just want to tell anyone who's scared of doing it, don't be scared because do it the best you can and you always have opportunities to go back and give more. But if you do a thorough house cleaning at the beginning, it becomes much simpler to do the rest. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nirvana A. from California. Next up, I have Sarah N., followed by, Vega Z, I think it is. You'll have to help me with that. All right, Sarah N.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Sarah N. I'm a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And this paragraph, I just kept bringing memories up for me, you know, three specific memories. One, when, you know, in the early days of program, you know, I had a sponsor just ask me to send, you know, email me her food. And I couldn't do it. It was like, are you kidding me? I mean, I don't think I even realized. I had no understanding, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I had no understanding at that point what that was all about. But it was just like pulling teeth to just send somebody what I was eating. Well, one problem was I just grazed all day. I ate so much. I'm like, what am I going to put five of this and six of this? You know, it was bits and pieces all over the place. So she was just trying to help me get abstinent. Anyway, God bless her and God bless all those who have been on my path, my journey, and helping me to get this. And, you know, sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. And I think sometimes I'm a slow learner. And I just really admire all of us, whoever's on this line, wherever you're at today, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. All is in divine order. Coming to the fifth step, you know, for me, whether it's the first time or again and again, it is amazing. And so the second memory is my most recent, you know, fourth and fifth step, and how absolutely, you know, liberating and freeing it was. And we'll read a little bit further. That after we do it, we get to go home and have an hour to, you know, make sure that we got everything out. And I remember in that hour, even just driving home after meeting with my sponsor, there were a few things that, you know, my higher power was like, what about this? What about that? And I went home and I wrote and I had it call back because it was like, no, I need it all out. I never want to be at day one again of abstinence. I just want to keep going. I'm so grateful and blessed for this, my abstinence. And I just want to wrap up with saying, I recently was teaching a 15-year-old how to make chocolate chip cookies step by step. And he kept wanting to jump ahead. And he kept, you know, I was like, okay, what do you need to do first? Like, get the ingredients. And he would just grab this and he'd grab that. And I had to keep pulling him back and say, okay, well, first we have to do that. First, you've got to mix those dry ingredients. Next, you do this. Next, you – and I told him, you know, we can try another time to just do it in random order or leave things out. But I think we can all relate to this. I dare you to make the chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips. That's what your recovery would be like without doing this crucial and vital step. And if you leave one key ingredient out, they're not going to be chocolate chip cookies. And then you're not, you know, I am not going to have the recovery that I want and need it without every single ingredient step by step. Thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah N. from California. And the last share today will be Faye. Is it Faye? A-G-Z. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. So I just wanted to share because, first of all, I appreciate all the shares this morning. They're all beautiful, and I feel like my share is probably.
Where are you from?
I'm sorry, I'm from Ohio.
Okay, thanks.
So yeah, all the shares were so beautiful, and I feel like I'm going to probably just be repeating a lot of people's shares. But I feel like with the fourth and fifth step, sometimes it takes a couple times to realize that there are certain things you didn't put on that you brush aside. That's what I found with myself, where I kind of pushed things aside that I didn't feel like were really important, and I didn't realize until I spoke it out, and I didn't do a really thorough fourth and fifth step. And part of that is fear of being judged and fear of being vulnerable. And that vulnerability is really the humbling part of it. And another part is also not just the big fourth and fifth step, but continuing on as you do the other steps, reaching out whenever I have little things come up that I decide to just brush them aside, these little things that might bug me for a second, I say, okay, it's not a big deal. And a lot of that, and I think when I actually do it with someone, I realize I'm actually fearful of being judged, that why do I have this stupid little emotion, you know, this little thing that bothers me. And I feel like someone else might not find that worthy of a 10th step or worthy of like actually having a conversation with someone about, but those little things, that buildup is what ends up bringing me right back to the food, which it's silly to think of it. And, you know, in hindsight, like why just pick up the phone, call someone and it'll, you know, just keep moving along instead of dwelling on things, or not even dwelling on it, but having all this buildup and then finding myself back in the food. All right. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Faye G. Z from Ohio. And you will be our last share for today. And I want to thank everyone for this wonderful Tuesday meeting, all that gave service and all that were attended. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Liz T. to read a vision for you.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.